This is Health First with Dave Fuller, available across Canada through the National Campus and Community Radio Association.
Well, we're talking with Alan Castles about his latest book now, Seeking Sickness, Medical Screening and the Misguided Hunt for Disease. Alan, tell us about this book. You know, I was actually taking a seminar I was taking a class the other day, and there was a presentation about the percentage of the amount of money that is spent on... I'm just stumbling today. But the amount of money that's spent on the medical system in Canada is about 40% of all the tax money that we take in.
Yeah.
How much of this is spent on medical screening, and you know, how much of the money is wasted in your view?
You know, that's a very good question. I don't think anyone's ever quantified that. You know, most of that 40% of our revenue is going to the healthcare system. Most of that money goes towards hospitals and to pharmaceuticals and to doctors. Those are the three sort of big areas. And screening programs are probably a relatively small part of that, though. Screening is one way in which you get a lot more people to start taking a lot more drugs. And so I'll give you an example, two examples, and that is screening for various types of cancer. So we have programs in the province here, and every province has these, to screen women for breast cancer. It's called mammography. And they ask women between the ages of, say, 50 and 70 to go periodically to a screening program and get an x-ray to determine if they have any abnormalities that might be cancer. That generates a huge amount of medical activity. For starters, it used to be thought that, yes, this is the right thing to do, better safe than sorry. Go in, get screened, and get your clean bill of health. Doctors and researchers are now starting to say, hold on a second, we are taking a lot of very healthy people and we're making them sick. In our efforts to look for illness, we find all kinds of abnormalities in human tissue, whether we're looking for it in the breasts of women or in the prostates of men. And a lot of the time, and in fact, most of the time, those abnormalities will not go on to harm you. Though once they're discovered through a mammogram or through a PSA test, it begins the cascade of medical interventions, which means biopsies, sometimes surgery, drugs, chemotherapy, and so on. You know, I was really quite astonished a number of years ago when a paper came out that said that to prevent one death from breast cancer, you have to screen 2,000 women every year for 10 years.
That was 20,000 women?
You'd have to screen 2,000 women per year for 10 years.
Wow.
And to save one life.
Yeah.
In the course of that, you will cause about 700 of those women to have false positives, to get called back with a cancer scare, told that there's something unusual, they have to take another mammogram, they have to do more biopsies, and some of those women will get unnecessary breast cancer surgery and so on. And so we, in our effort to find illness, we actually cause it. And the same analogy could be made with looking for prostate cancer in men.
Well, even the stress caused, you know, on women, the 700 false positives.
Yeah.
What is the effect of that?
Well, you know, that's, I actually say about that in my book, because nobody measures that. Mm-hmm. You know, you're causing, I think, to be told that you have a potentially fatal cancer can be life-altering for most people. It's going to have a huge psychological impact. And so a lot of those people are going to be on stress leave or taking antidepressants or other ways to try to cope with what has been a cancer scare, not a real cancer.
What are some of the other screening techniques that are really not effective?
Well, you know, the one that really got me going was when I saw I saw an ad in the Times Colonist, which is a local newspaper here, that said a full body scan can save your life. And it was a clinic down in Port Angeles in Washington State asking people to come in and pay like $1,000 to get a full body CT scan. This, a CT scan is it's like a high-tech x-ray that goes around your body and takes 3D images of the inside of your body. It delivers a huge amount of radiation, but this company was promoting this as a way to save your life. Well, when you look at that under the research microscope, you find that if I were to take 1,000 healthy people and give them a full-body CT scan, about 90% of them are going to have something unusual found on the scan. So it will be a bit of scar tissue on your liver, or, you know, a little nodule on your lung, you know. So most of us, in fact, this one study that I'm actually quoting from did that. They tested full body screening in 1,000 otherwise healthy people, and it found that the average person has 2.3 abnormalities in their body.
Wow.
So when you do that, though, is that you will take people who are otherwise healthy and have no symptoms, and you will tell them they have something unusual, and then again, the cascade begins.
So what is the cost? So we do a body scan. Let's say we do it in the medical system in Canada. It costs us $1,000 to do the scan or more.
Yeah.
By the time you've talked to the professional a couple times. We do the scan, and then, you know, 90% of people have to come back for some more scan. What's the total cost of if we follow a patient from the time somebody says they have to take a scan or they decide they want to take their own scan to the time when perhaps if 90% of them have to have some other treatment?
Yeah.
What is that cost?
Well, see, it's very difficult to calculate, but it would be in the probably tens of thousands of dollars, because a lot of times if there's something unusual to scan, and their first thing they'll say is, well, we better do the test again, we better do another scan. And so one thing I didn't say is that the amount of radiation you get in a full body CT scan is somewhere between 300 and 500 chest x-rays.
Sorry?
So the equivalent radiation that you're going to get is somewhere between 300 and 500 chest x-rays.
Wow.
So statistically, in fact, there was a very good report in the New York Times a couple of years ago about this very point, is that statistically, this full body scanning is actually causing cancers.
Mm.
Now, you know,
you might as well walk around Fukushima a couple times.
Yeah, or eat the fish there. I don't know.
Exactly.
Yeah. Anyways, it's very costly, and costly both in terms of dollars, but also in terms of, you know, wasting the time of medical professionals and people who are put through these screening programs.
Alan, I want to ask you, you know, if our doctor says that we need to have this screen or that screen, what screens do work, first of all, and what screens should we be avoiding for the most part?
Well, you know, that's a kind of a tough question to ask, because when I published this book, and the book is now a year and a bit old, things change, right? So what I did, though, in the book is give people a list of questions they should always ask whenever they're presented with a screening test. You know, what is the rates of false positives? What is the rates of false negatives? What are the potential harms related to the test? Are there, what is the risk of me having a positive? And then what are you going to do if you test me for something and I have a positive screen? Positive meaning there's something there.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, when I looked at all the screening programs, and I'm talking, you know, there's screening programs to screen your blood, your urine, your bones for cancer. There's mental health screening tests. There's self-screening tests. There's tests for low testosterone and high cholesterol and so on. So there's many different types of screening tests. There's two, though, that I think have some probably some promise. Again, you want to make sure that the appropriate people get screened. And one is the Pap screen, and a Pap test is what women, say between the ages of 20 and 70, would routinely, maybe not routinely, but say every year or two, have a test from their doctor, and it can find signs of potential precancerous cells, and so that can help lower the risk of cervical cancer. Another kind of screening is colon cancer screening, which they recommend for everyone who turns 50 to go and get a fecal occult blood. It's basically a poop test to see if there's any blood in your digestive system, which might mean that you have a signs of colon cancer. And so they would order a colonoscopy and go inside and to see if they can find anything. So those two tests, I think, have some validity to them, can probably help people. And, we have programs in British Columbia for both those types of diseases.
Alan, what has the reaction been to your two books? Because I don't imagine that you're very popular with people in the medical sciences research area in general.
Well, I may not be, but I do have a lot of fans. I hate to say it, but people will often write me and agree with me and even say that, look, I haven't gone far enough in criticizing this test or that drug. Mm-hmm. You know, I spend a lot of time looking at the studies of the drugs and of the screening tests. I base my thoughts and my criticism on evidence. And if you don't like to be moved by evidence, then you're not going to want to like what I say. But if you know, clinical evidence and research on things is important to you, it's good to get it from an independent source. And I mean, I don't want to blow my own horn, but I don't take any money from the pharmaceutical industry. I don't do any research for the drug companies. I can maintain an independent voice, and you know, there's frankly few of us out there that can claim this, but I don't have to do pharmaceutical company research, so I can afford to have a fairly critical eye on things.
Did you get much backlash from the pharmaceutical industry?
No. In fact, they specifically went out of their way not to criticize both my books, because that criticism would draw attention to the fact that I'm probably telling the truth, and I don't think they want people to know this.
Right. You know, your books are fascinating, and I hope people pick them up to get more information about their, you know, about their own health.
Yeah.
Tell us, you got a minute there to sell your books on the show?
Well,
tell people where they're from, where they can get them.
So the newest one, Seeking Sickness, Medical Screening and the Misguided Hunt for Disease, you can get that from Amazon or any bookstore, I think. I could even sell you an autographed copy from here. I've got a website. It's basically my name, alancastles.com. You just Google my name, you'd find it. And I'm not really sort of interested in selling things as much. I'm interested in what people have to say about the kinds of tests and the drugs that they're given. And you know, I like hearing people's stories.
And Alan, thanks so much for coming on the show.
Okay.
The website again is alancastles.com if you want to send him a comment on what you heard today. alancastles.com.
Okay. Have a good day.
You too. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to be coming back when talking with Robin Weston about her book, The Yoga Body Cleanse.